My name is Barbara Cameron. You can see from this long list of names that I worked on this project with lots of people, including Jonathan, who's sitting right here. We have, for the past few years, been working on an intervention to improve breastfeeding support in child care centers in Wake County, North Carolina, which is where Raleigh, North Carolina, the capital, is. I have no commercial disclosures to make. So I want to talk a little bit about breastfeeding and child care. I really got such a nice intro with some dealings of some of the issues related to breastfeeding, talking about our intervention and the study that we did and what some of our findings have been. So caring for our children, as I'm sure many of you know, has got a new revised edition out this year, and we were really happy to see that they take a pretty strong stance about the importance of breastfeeding support. One of the things we find tricky in our conversations with child care providers is they tend to take the position that infant feeding choices are not their business, that it is the parent's choice and it is not their business to express any opinion about better or worse infant feeding choices. And so one of the things we have tried to do in our trainings and our conversations with them is to talk about their expertise in supporting public health interventions, because child care providers do that all the time. And when they can put breastfeeding support in the same category as other public health interventions like hand washing, they can wrap their heads around it a little more. And the other thing language we use when we talk to them is just that the idea of enabling breastfeeding, that there's a huge gap between women's desire to breastfeed and women's success at breastfeeding. And so if we can just do as much as closing the gap between women's breastfeeding intentions and their achievements, that's a huge accomplishment. But part of our work has definitely been in sort of winning them over to the idea of breastfeeding as a public health intervention. I know I don't have to win any of you over with that, but we love what Caring for Our Children says, because it really says that the child care provider should be a cheerleader and a vigorous supporter of breastfeeding. Just a few statistics, because I can't help myself. In Wake County, which is not atypical, we see high rates of breastfeeding initiation and high rates of drop-off. And so, again, this is this issue of intention is probably best reflected by these high initiation rates, but there's so many barriers to breastfeeding, and there's certainly good evidence that child care is one of those barriers. Infants who are routinely cared for by someone other than their mothers are significantly less likely to be breastfed. And when you ask women, these statistics are from North Carolina, why they stop breastfeeding, one of the highest reasons is because they're going to have to go back to work or go back to school and be separated from their baby. And we certainly get anecdotal reports of lack of support in childcare centers. So we all know it's hard for mothers and babies when they have to be separated. Sorry, Jonathan, you missed the cartoon. But the good news is that so we have lots of kids who are in childcare. Childcare centers serve 1 million kids a month, but it is often a barrier to breastfeeding success. But this creates an opportunity if we can help provide the support that childcare providers need so that they can support breastfeeding, then childcare facilities can be a place that enable rather than undermine breastfeeding. So in terms of our research design, what we did is we recruited centers in Wake County. We specifically focused on childcare centers just to limit our pool, and only included centers that had at least some children that received childcare subsidies, because we were specifically interested in supporting the intervention for lower income families. And we had two instruments that we used. One was a self-assessment based on 10 steps for breastfeeding-friendly childcare, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute, and then which was done for each center, and then a survey of knowledge, attitudes, and practices of all the providers. After we did that, we assigned them systematically to two groups and to create a waitlist control. So we did the intervention with half the centers and then reassessed so that we could compare centers that received the intervention and providers that received the intervention with those that did not. 10 steps for breastfeeding friendly childcare. Anybody here who works in breastfeeding would know it, that 10-step programs are used extensively to support improve breastfeeding support in hospitals. It's sort of the standard that is used. And so partly because we have a lot of experience using those in hospitals, we thought it was a great model to try with childcare centers. We are not the first to come up with this idea of 10 steps, but we did create a self-assessment based on the 10 steps, which is very much modeled on what's used in hospitals. So that self-assessment, it was created, was completed by self-report with a director, with an assessor there helping them fill it out, although we did not, it was completely self-report. We did not double-check their answers. And each step had multiple concrete objectives. And when we talk about, I'm going to talk a little bit about whether or not centers fulfill the step. And what that means is they say yes to each of the 2 to 4 objectives under the step. I'm not going to read all these, but I did feel like I should include a list of what all these 10 steps are. But basically the idea is we want to train the staff about breastfeeding, about human milk handling. We want to inform families. We want to create a breastfeeding-friendly environment. We want to refer. We want to have a breastfeeding-friendly feeding plan, and we want the staff to have continuing education. And I'm going to talk about, since we did the project originally, we've updated those a little bit. So we also did a knowledge, attitudes, and practices survey of all the providers. We surveyed about 350 providers in Wake County. It was paper-based and anonymous, completed by staff. So here's the numbers. 101 centers initially, 350 providers, and 80 were the ones that agreed to participate in the intervention. We had some drop-off after that. Actually getting them to come to the training was one of the biggest challenges and barriers to the project. Okay, so what did we find? What we found is there are enormous gaps in childcare providers and centers' policies and practices and knowledge related to breastfeeding. This is not a big shock. Centers fall short in terms of staff training. They don't have educational materials for parents. They don't have a policy related to breastfeeding. They don't necessarily provide a breastfeeding-friendly environment, although that, I think, is going to continue to change. North Carolina now requires child care centers to have a place where a mom can sit and nurse or pump. But I think it's important to note that that is not something to take for granted, because we had a center that described themselves as breastfeeding-friendly and was interested in participating in our project that would not let moms breastfeed on the premises. So the director did not see any disconnect between, she's like, we're very supportive of breastfeeding, but if a woman wants to nurse her baby, she has to go sit in her car. So I just think that's I like to remember that, because I think it shows in some ways really how far we have to go in terms of educating the providers of the impact of their policies and their actions on an individual mom. And I would say one place where we saw very little was knowledge of community resources, because one of the things we are not interested in training child care providers to be breastfeeding counselors, but we would like to train them to refer moms who are having trouble to community resources. And fortunately in Wake County, there are tons and there's no shortage of free community resources available, and they just had no idea. Okay, so this is an overview of the 10 steps baseline. So for each of these steps, it shows the percentage of centers surveyed that completed all the objectives for each of the steps. Step 4 and step 5 are related to milk handling and storage. And so some of that is dictated by regulation. We actually think it's, especially step 5, we think it's overreported, because it's dictated by regulation. They're not going to tell us that they're not doing it. So when we're looking at misinformation that the providers have, a really common one, very prevalent, is that women with a poor diet should not breastfeed, that one of the benefits of formula feeding is that formula is always really good, but if a mom has a bad diet, her milk is no good. This one sort of caught us by surprise at how common a belief that is. And generally, just limited information about breastfeeding's health benefits. One of the things when we do the training that we like to stress to the providers is the role of breastfeeding in SIDS prevention, because childcare providers get a lot of training in SIDS prevention, and although hopefully we're going to change things, and we're trying to change that in North Carolina, I think, but that many of them never had heard of that. And also, it's okay to offer cereal in the bottle. And I would say generally we saw a lot of stuff about premature introduction of solids. Attitudes. Breastfeeding, this is a little bit what we were talking before. Breastfeeding support is not part of their job, and that they don't impact family feeding decisions. And there's a lot of anxiety about handling human milk and getting diseases from it. And again, this has to do, think they need to wear gloves wearing handling human milk, but not wearing formula when they feed formula bottles. So there's a lot of fear about disease transmission from human milk. And they don't, the centers say that they train everyone on how to handle human milk. The providers say that they do not receive training. So if we look at the whole intervention, the self-assessment, of course, is really the first part of the intervention. We do a two-hour training of center staff. We created and provide a lot of materials for the staff and the center, and do a follow-up visit. Whew, whirlwind. Okay. And I have some examples of the materials I can share with you. The basic guiding principles were to respond to the gaps we found in our needs assessment, to make the materials feel accessible, keep the literacy level low. We found that a lot of the materials is particularly geared at issues of childcare, returning to work. Separations are very much more geared at professional women. Like if you look at the business case for breastfeeding, like the print is this big and the pictures are of women in offices, and we wanted to try to provide materials that would simultaneously be appropriate for the literacy level of the women using the center and for the staff, who typically are not going to have a very high level of education. And the other thing is we wanted to just create fairly simple PDF files, because what we're in the process right now of creating a CD-ROM toolkit of all our materials that will be available at the end of the year, God willing. And they're currently only in English, and we're in the process of getting them all into Spanish, which they'll be available in 2012 in Spanish. So this is an example. We color-coded all the materials for ease of use. So we have three categories: green for breastfeeding families, orange for all families, and purple for center use. And the orange, that's an example of an orange one, which says our child care center supports breastfeeding, to put in the hands of all families, and to say to everyone in the center, our child care center supports breastfeeding. And this is just the 10 steps for breastfeeding friendly child care. Training, I think the most important thing to say about the training is that we tried not to cover too much. We tried to pick, a half a dozen really important messages we wanted to get across about, you're not going to catch HIV from human milk. Mom should breastfeed no matter what their diet is like. And some things about the benefits of breastfeeding, and hit those multiple times rather than try to cover everything. The other thing I think we did that's unique is that rather than having a didactic training that lists a lot of this is why you need to be on board and support breastfeeding, we created a training that's very discussion-based. So the very first activity gives the staff a chance to express their opinions about breastfeeding without any factual correction. And so, because infant feeding is a very loaded topic, and we wanted to make sure that the providers had a little space to express their dubiousness about this as an intervention. And so that was a different approach, which was well responded to. And it's not typical of the trainings these providers get. Part of it, too, is all these trainings are at like 6 o'clock at night after they've been working all day, and I made them stand up and walk around a lot. So I'll just throw a little data at you. Our preliminary findings, we gave a pre and a post test before and immediately after the training. So what this shows is the average training was 50% on the pretest beforehand and 90% afterwards. We're still in the process of analyzing our data from the second round of the KAP, but these are a few things that we see improve, a few areas where we're seeing significant improvement. One of the things we're really encouraged by is we see a real shift in providers perceiving themselves as having an influence over feeding decisions, and that breastfeeding support is part of their job. They know they have increased knowledge of community resources, which granted is because in the training we hand them a sheet of paper that says, here are the community resources. But they seem to actually know that it says that. Babies should not get cereal in their bottles. And also this idea that breastfed babies, we see a shift in how they don't think breastfed babies are harder to take care of, which was actually a common trend in the original data. And then this is the these are the data for the self-appraisal. I know there are a lot of bars here. The light blue is the baseline for all the steps, which is exactly what you looked at before. When it looks like the bar is missing, it's because it was zero. And then the dark blue is our waitlist control, and the green is the group that received the intervention. So you can see that everywhere except step five, we see a really dramatic improvement in their scores on the self-appraisal. And we're trying to figure out what's going on with step five. We think part of, I mean, you can see it was very high initially, and we really think it's an over-report, at least in part, and that part of the dynamic may be that once they get the training, they realize that they were wrong thinking that they were already doing it. So
what was step five?
Step five is storage and handling of milk. So moving forward, Wake County is now, we work with Child Care Health Consultants, with John, which I know Jonathan's going to talk about next, and they have now incorporated breastfeeding support in as part of what they do with their Child Care Health Consultants, and they work with centers, and we've actually revised the self-appraisal to make it more consumer-friendly, modeled on Knapsack, so we now have a self-appraisal and support materials that looks just like the Knapsack self-appraisal, and that will be part of the toolkit. We have developed and piloted Train the Trainer materials, so we've started training people to do this training, specifically geared at folks like Child Care Health Consultants, and then this toolkit of materials, which is generalizable to other locales, not just North Carolina, will be available at the end of 2011. And this is one of our posters. I'll mention that one of the things I'm sure many of you have noticed is that breastfeeding materials are really lacking in any images of women who are not white and even blonde. Like, they're all blonde. So we were really lucky. The WIC in New Hanover County on the coast of North Carolina got a grant and worked with a local photographer specifically to take multi-ethnic breastfeeding photos, and that photographer donated all her materials to our project, so we were able to use a lot of her pictures. And part of the two that are hers are the Hispanic woman with the yellow, kid in the yellow, and the African-American woman in the middle with the blue. We also really liked it because it's breastfeeding in the world pictures instead of, like, because we also didn't really want, like, super naked, tiny newborn pictures for childcare centers, because that's not really... I always pull these out when we always have a thing about, like, nursing in public, and I'm like, you can't see anything in these pictures, right? There's nothing to see. Okay. All right, that's it. I just got to stop. Thank you.